Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy speculation and advice. Now, along with the guys from GuillotineLeagues.com, here's your host, Paul Charchian.
Welcome to the show, everybody. It is Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchian. My co-hosts today are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. Hello, guys.
Hello, Charge. This is an awesome day.
It is an awesome day, unless you're a guy who had the first pick in your fantasy draft.
That could be true, but no, I was going to say, I am doing exactly what I should be doing on a day like this, hanging out with Paul Charchian and Brian Johnson on my 16th wedding anniversary.
Oh, wow. Well, I mean, I think of us as being something
family.
A very open marriage between us, the three of us, and maybe including your wife as well.
In fairness, we got married, I married my best friend, and she married like her fourth best friend. I'm still in the top 10.
Still in the top 10.
After 16 years, that's like a Brady-like run. I'm still a top 10.
Not bad.
Friend.
Not bad.
Happy anniversary to the Fishes. You outkicked your coverage.
Have an open marriage, does somebody get to sleep with the Fishes?
In your extremely hypothetical scenario, yes, that makes sense.
Fantastic. We've got plenty to get to over the course of this show. We'll break down every matchup fantasy style, as we always do. We will play three tough questions. We will answer what to do with Chuba Hubbard a little later in the show.
Ooh.
And we will also give you nine players upon who you can take a chance. Let's roll up our sleeves immediately with Jacoby Brissett.
Yikes.
And the Dolphins offense. Dolphins might be the lowest scoring offense of the year. They are right now the lowest scoring offense. This may hold for the season as they take on the Raiders.
Yeah, this game, I think it's going to be a really low-scoring battle here. Jacoby Brissett, the starter for the Miami Dolphins this week. The Raiders held Big Ben and Lamar Jackson down to about 265 yards and a touch. You think of Brissett as a mobile quarterback.
Yeah,
you kind of do. He's had his chops a little bit. But you may or may not be surprised to know he only averages 15 yards rushing per start.
No,
he doesn't run as much as we might think.
No.
And he averages 200 passing yards and one touchdown per start. He doesn't get a lot of stats. And when you have that low volume, you can't start Waddle. Especially with Will Fuller back. You can't start Waddle or Fuller or Parker. One of them might get you some stats, but you can't trust in any of them. I have them all on the bench. I have Brissett on the bench as well, if you couldn't have figured that out.
Yes.
I have Gesicki on the bench. The Raiders are actually top 10 against tight ends, but mostly Gesicki and Durham Smythe have been pulled in to be used to block.
Yeah, the line play has been terrible in Miami.
Yeah, so you can't start Gesicki. I do have a C grade on Gaskin, though. He's getting 5-plus targets a week.
That like it's a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, his 10 to 15 touches might be what gets you there. It might be the only thing that can work in this offense, Brissett's little dump-offs to him. And he had 169 total yards last year against this Raiders team. So
yeah.
I think there's a little bit of optimism there. So I'm giving him possibly a volume C grade. I think he gets some catches. He gets you some points. On the other side, Derek Carr. I am giving a B grade to Derek Carr with Drake and Barber being the workhorses with, and watching what they did last week.
Ugh.
They were terrible last week. Their yards per rush were
they were in the one territory.
Ridiculous.
It was two for Barber and one for Drake.
Yeah.
Per carry. That's it.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous. Derek Carr has been lighting it up. This might be a little better of a defense. The Dolphins have some good cornerbacks. Mm-hmm. So I'm only giving Carr a B grade here, but he's going to have to step it up in this one because the running game is not going to get it done with Jacobs likely out. However, with Ruggs and Edwards and Renfro, I mentioned those cornerbacks. They're all good. Like Xavier Howard's good. Byron Jones is good. We're talking all three of their cornerbacks are top 40 ranked by PFF. Mm-hmm. Like it's good. It's tough matchups for all of them. Renfro has the best matchup in the slot against Coleman. But I don't like any of them this week as like even a C start. I think it all goes to Waller. I think that's where Carr
can do that.
He's going to spread it around, but we might see another 19 target Waller game. So I mean, he's just an obvious A at this point.
Yes.
Yeah. In the run game, I have Drake with a C and Barber on the bench. Drake is only getting the C because he's got five catches, not targets, five catches in each game.
Yeah.
If and that's getting you, you know, five catches and 40 yards just receiving.
Right.
Then he gets...
That's how he gets the 10 fantasy points.
Granted, he got 9 yards rushing last week, so I was going to say he gets 20, 30, 40 rushing, but we don't know that that's a thing.
We can't count on that.
He's going to get the C grade from me, but that's it for this matchup.
All right.
Not much.
You know, not a lot to like in Dolphins Raiders, but we got that game out of the way.
Yes.
Right off the bat, which is very important.
Go away.
We have a better matchup, I hope, with Bengals at Steelers, Brian.
I don't know.
And Bengals going to likely be without T. Higgins in this game.
There's a lot of likely without. Like, I printed off my notes a couple hours ago, and they're already like marked up like tons of red ink on my these notes right now. But we'll start with the Bengals side with players who will play and Joe Mixon. Just to see for Mixon though, this week had a rough outing against the Bears last week. Probably won't get any better against the Steelers, or any easier, I should say. Pittsburgh has allowed the 7th fewest rushing yards and 6th fewest receiving yards to running backs. Mixon basically didn't play last year, but he didn't play the Steelers in either game last year. But in his 6 career meetings prior, just 1 total touchdown. Okay. And now T.J. Watt is questionable for Pittsburgh, and that's a huge with a groin injury. That'll be huge either way. So you want to keep your eye on Watt when it comes to Joe Mixon and the passing game, which we'll get to right now. As you mentioned, T. Higgins looks doubtful.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a positive doubtful, though, like the most positive a doubtful can get, apparently.
He's on the questionable side of doubtful.
Yes, with a shoulder injury, but we're just going to assume he does not play. So he's on the bench. So we'll go to Jamar Chase, who I had a B grade on if Higgins played. And it certainly doesn't help Jamar Chase that Higgins is sitting.
No, it doesn't. I mean, they can give him extra attention for sure.
So I'm going to stick with a B for Chase. He's paying off big time for those who bought the dip in late summer.
Uh-huh.
Like, he fell a couple rounds in ADP after the drops in the preseason.
Yep.
A touchdown of 20-plus air yards in each week for Chase. The Steelers have allowed the 6th most yards and 3rd most receptions to wide receivers, plus a touchdown in each game they played. Henry Ruggs, the 3rd, just had 100-plus and a score last week, so I like Chase's chances of replicating those numbers from Ruggs. So, again, Higgins out. Tyler Boyd was going to get a C. I guess I'm going to bump Boyd up to a B now. Pittsburgh has yielded the 3rd most targets to wide receivers, and Tyler Boyd generally gets a lot of those from from Joe Burrow, who, you know, I got to talk about Auden Tate now. I was going to give Tyler Boyd.
I don't think even want to dart throw Auden Tate, though, that there's a good secondary. Joe Hayden's going to play.
They're going to get funneled to the pass, I feel, the Bengals. Auden Tate, not a take-on player, but he's a fringe take-on player, maybe a daily dart throw.
If you're super desperate.
Yeah.
There you go. We'll go with that. And then lastly for Cincy, Joe Burrow, just to see. He did play Pittsburgh last year before the season-ending knee injury. Sadly, T. Higgins went off in that game, who's not playing in this game. So Burrow only had 213 yards and 1 passing touchdown in that game. I think he can get to 240 and 2 in this one now with Jamar Chase in the mix. But again, Higgins gone. If T.J. Watt is a go or a no-go, that's just huge for Burrow in this one. But I'm going to stick with the C. Over to the Steelers side.
Yeah.
We'll start with Najee Harris, who did not play in 100% of the snaps last week,
in
week 1.
It's
a tough matchup for Najee. The Bengals held Dalvin Cook and David Montgomery in check on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Harris did see 5 targets last week. That's encouraging. I would expect him to top 100 combo yards in this one with the potential for a touchdown, but just a very soft B for Najee.
I like that we dog him for going down to 95%.
That's right.
All the way from 100.
That was very intentional. Now, Deontay Johnson was going to get an A, but now he's been ruled out.
Right.
He is out. So
yeah, James Washington becomes a really sneaky pickup and play, and DFS,
We will get to him. And
I'll take Washington
now. Trey Waynes, since he's top corner, is doubtful, so that's a bump for all remaining wide receivers. So we'll start with Juju Smith-Schuster. Your boy, Charge, has scored in 3 of 4 career home games against the Bengals, including last year's contest. So I'm going to give him a B with no Deontay Johnson. And he was going to be a C, as was Chase Claypool. I'm going to give Claypool a B here. 50-plus yards in both games against the Bengals last year. He scored twice in one of those games. So with no Deontay Johnson, Claypool and Smith-Schuster should see a significant bump in targets, a B for both of them. And James Washington, another kind of bonus take-home wide receiver here with a C grade.
Yes.
With no Deontay Johnson.
We should clarify for those that might not listen to the show regularly, take-home is what we call take a chance on me. That is our shortened version.
Everyone knows that. The most popular acronym in fantasy football,
it really is.
But they'll learn it in the next segment.
The second most popular acronym in fantasy football is blowed.
Oh, and we'll get blowed later.
We'll get blowed later.
And quickly, the tight ends not startable yet for me for Pittsburgh, even though rookie Pat Freiermuth has appeared to have jumped Eric Ebron on the depth chart. Freiermuth is the only true rookie tight end we will discuss on today's show.
Oh, jeez.
And lastly, Ben Roethlisberger, he'll never get higher than a C ever. Right for the remainder of this season of his career.
I mean, based on what we've seen so far, no.
No.
He looks cooked.
And with no Deontay Johnson, he's got the pec injury. I kind of like the wide receiver still a little bit, but I got Ben on the bench.
I'm benching Ben. No, I don't blame you. There are far better guys to play.
Yeah.
Chargers take on the Chiefs, and I'm going to start with the Chargers side by mentioning the Chiefs' defense is in bad shape. Frank Clark is out for this game, and that will help both the running game and the passing game. Chris Jones is questionable. Charvarius Ward, one of their starting corners, also questionable for this game. Chargers are going to win this game, and Patrick Mahomes is going to be under 500 in a couple of days.
Oh boy.
That's coming up.
Place your bets.
Uh-huh. Let's start with the running game in Austin Ekeler. Chiefs are allowing 130 rushing yards. That's the third most in two rushing scores, the most per game to opposing running backs, which is part of the A grade for Ekeler. He caught all nine of his receptions last week. Remember after week one when he had no receptions and we were all worried that he gets nine the next week?
So 18 next week, right? Zero.
Oh,
nine,
I like it. 0-9-18. Yeah, yep. 27. The Chiefs rank 30th so far in running back receiving yards allowed. Sorry, that was last year. 30th last year allowed. They appear to be better through that through a couple of games this year, but still a plus matchup for Ekeler on the ground and through the air. Love Justin Air Bear, who has played better than his box scores would suggest. In week one, he faced a very good Washington defense, still put up 337. And in week two, he had a couple of big play touchdowns that got reversed, and he still posted 338 yards.
And one was on a taunting call, too, right?
Yes.
I believe.
Yeah.
One of the many awful taunting calls.
It feels like Justin is sitting on an explosive game, and this could be it. The Chiefs secondary has only been lightly tested with the passing of Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson, and they're still giving up an eye-popping completion rate of 72%, the fifth worst in the league. And here comes Air Bear with his 70% completion rate. This is a plus-plus matchup for A-Bear. A grade. Keenan Allen gets an A grade. Back-to-back 100-yard games for the first time since 2017. Minnesota cast-off Mike Hughes awaits him in the slot. Hughes gives up 4 inches and 20 pounds. That is a sizable mismatch in Allen's favor. Also, Mike Hughes is not good. Mike Williams gets a B grade, which we will upgrade to an A if Charvarius Ward does not play. Back-to-back games with double-digit targets for Mike Williams, something that had never happened in his entire career before. And that kind of usage makes him a reliable starter like never before.
I read how his A dot has basically been cut in half, but it's been better
for him.
Yes,
for him.
Yes,
absolutely.
Way more productive.
He's got a good coaching staff.
Average depth of target for those who don't know.
That is correct. Thank you very much. Well, I do think cornerback Lajarius Sneed is good. He can be avoided pretty easy by lining up on the other side of the field. And as I mentioned, Charvarius Ward may not play. So a B and possibly an A grade for Mike Williams. Jared Cook is a sneaky tight end sleeper you may be able to pick up. The Chiefs have allowed 93 yards per game to opposing tight ends. That is the second most in the league. Cook has gotten almost all of the tight end targets. He notched 4 red zone receptions in the 2 games, which could be a good sign for a possible touchdown here. Next, let's go over to the Kansas City side. Mahomes and Hill and Kelce all get A grades, but I do need to point out some danger points for you. Over the past 2 years, Mahomes has averaged a mundane 219 yards and 1.3 touchdown passes against the Chargers.
That's Brissett-level thing.
That is Brissett-level production. That's weird. And with the return of elite safety Derwin James and promising rookie cornerback Asante Samuel, the Chargers are not a layup at this point. Los Angeles has allowed the second fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks, including goose-egging Dak Prescott last week. It looks like Joey Bosa will not play, though, after missing the entire week of practice. That does help Mahomes. But again, still have A grades on Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey, but not this usual, the usual confidence we've had in the past. Then we turn our attention to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Two complete duds so far, and needs to perform here against the Chargers team, allowing a league-worst 144 rushing yards per game on 5.5 yards per carry. This is a critical juncture for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Yeah. We're going to talk more about him a little later in the show. He gets a C grade here. He is still quasi-active in the receiving game. I don't know. Not as much as he should be. So maybe he's going to help out a little bit in that particular area. But again, deep dive coming up later in the show on Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
We've been kind of ragging on Jacoby in this segment, but he did set the bar pretty low with his
Thanks, Dad.
Career production.
When we come back, nine players upon whom you can take a chance is a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. And we continue to create brand new guillotine leagues at guillotineleagues.com. If you want to play the freshest new format in fantasy sports, check out guillotineleagues.com. Back in moments, everybody. Welcome back. Fantasy Football Weekly, a segment we call Take a Chance on Me. It's so great to have a great song to go with Take a Chance on Me.
Now, I ragged on this song in its debut late last year.
That was foolish.
But it was better than whatever we were rolling out before that. But it's growing on me every time.
All right, good.
Great tune. I apologize for ragging on
I think as well you should. This is nine players not normally in your starting lineup. Many of these guys are available on the waiver wire. They've got great matchups this week. We'll tell you who they are, beginning at the quarterback position and Scott Fish.
First off, I think we all miss the Chipmunks. We can all admit that we miss the Chipmunks Take a Chance on Me song.
It's true.
Yes, we absolutely.
I never thought.
I
never thought I would say it, but yes.
No, that's the one that's still not missed.
Okay, I have Daniel Jones. The Falcons are the worst ranked team against quarterbacks. They've allowed 8 passing touchdowns, and the Giants are designing runs for Jones, which is actually going to give him a nice floor. He has a 290 plus total yards and multiple scores in both games. And as I said in week one, if you remember, you have to keep in mind that for Atlanta, the front 11 on that defense is not very good.
That is true. The front 11.
Yes.
Yes. Brian, your Take a Chance on Me quarterback.
Jimmy Garoppolo at home against the Packers.
Your house and my guy from the past 2 weeks.
I'm riding your coattails,
I suppose. Can he just be a starter? Like, is he always going to be take a chance on me?
He might be.
Trey Lance is going to have to wait another week. Jameis Winston went off against Green Bay for 5 touchdowns in week 1. Jared Goff had a decent showing in Lambeau last week with nearly 250 passing yards and 2 touchdowns. So Jimmy G has multi-touchdown potential with his primary receiving options healthy, like George Kittle and Debo Samuel, of course, and virtually no running backs on the team. We'll talk about that a little later in the show. And Jameis Winston also ran for 37 yards, and Goff had 46 against Green Bay. And Jimmy G, just as mobile as those guys, if not more. So I'm liking Garoppolo, sitting on a big game, I think.
Yeah, it could be. Just find Kevin King is all you have to do.
There you go.
Get the Packers fans pulling their hair out over his play. Jared Goff is my Take a Chance on Me quarterback. You just alluded to him. An unlikely top 10 fantasy quarterback right now, thanks to a unique recipe that remains in play for the Lions. An awful defense creating ongoing negative game scripts. His offensive line is pretty good, so he's got time to scan the field. And even with shaky receivers, he's getting a lot of help from his tight ends and his running backs. And here comes a Baltimore defense, a shell of its former self, allowing the most passing yards in the NFL. And on Friday, they had to rule out 4 defensive starters on the COVID list.
Oh, boy.
This is a very plus matchup for Jared Goff, potentially sitting on a big game.
They're probably calling Ed Reed right about now.
You might want to. Let's go to the running back position. You're taking a chance on me, player. Scott.
I am going with Score Daryl Patterson. Oh. Mark McNeil from Twitter giving me that nickname. Score Daryl Patterson.
I like
it. He has a role in this offense.
Where was this last week, by the way?
I know, right? They're designing a lot of plays for him. He's only in the game about a third of the time, but he's touching the ball on a good high percentage of those. Mm-hmm. Giants, the matchup against the Falcons, are allowing nearly 5.4 yards per carry and over 9 yards per reception to running backs.
Time. Wow.
Yep.
Also, by the way, Gage and Frank Darby are out. So basically, it's Pitts, it's Ridley, it's Patterson, and like Olamide Zaccheaus. Like, that's it.
Done on that.
Yeah.
I didn't think you'd pull that off.
Oh, no.
You're taking a chance on me running back, Brian.
I have the decomposing zombie corpse of James Conner at Jacksonville. Conner has not looked good this year, but the Jaguars have looked worse than James Conner has in a vacuum. Chase Edmonds is the guy you want for Arizona, but Conner is still going to factor probably heavily against a Jaguars team that allowed every Texan running back to score in week one.
True.
Outside of Rex Burkhead, but all three other backs scored. And last week, they surrendered 130-plus combo yards to Denver backs, and Jacksonville has also yielded the second-most red zone and goal-to-go touches to running backs so far this year. So I think Connor sneaks into the end zone in this one.
Could be. I've got Latavius Murray against Detroit. Any warm body viable play against Detroit? And while I prefer Tyson Williams by a lot, but just for the sake of going farther down the depth chart, let's talk about Murray. He'll face a Lions team surrendering 150 total yards per game to opposing backs. That's ninth most. And a staggering 3 running back touchdowns per game the Lions are giving up on average. So, you know, if there's 3 to be had, even if Williams gets 1 or 2 of them, Murray could get the third.
Sure.
Murray had 83 total yards and 2 scores when he played against Detroit last year as a member of the Saints. Let's go to the receivers. Scott, who is your take a chance on me wide out?
My take a chance on me wide receiver is going to be Jalen Reagor. He's going up against the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas Cowboys giving a lot of passing or wide receiver production so far. It looks like it's going to be a shootout on Monday night with an over-under over 50 points. And the Dallas Cowboys have allowed 90-plus yards and or a score to 4 receivers in their 2 games, 2 in each game, and 3 of those scored. The one who didn't had 108 yards. Also, the guy that plays in Rager's spot on the field went for 5 for 121 in a touch. And 7 for 91 in a touch in those 2 games.
Wow. All right. Brian, your take a chance for me receiver.
Now, he's a receiver, but he's not a wide receiver. He's a tight end.
Okay.
And he plays for Arizona, but he's Minnesota's own Max Williams at the Jaguars.
Oh, you think last week
Max
was not,
at Jax.
Was not a fluke.
It was not a fluke. Max at Jax.
That's big, a lot of X's.
Big Max attack.
And that's with 2 X's on Jacksonville. And that's the University of Minnesota, of course. And I saw it was Goldie the Gopher's 69th birthday. 69th nice birthday the other day. So happy belated Goldie. But great matchup for Williams. Finally living up to that second-round draft capital from Baltimore from about, I don't know, it feels like a decade ago at this point. But tight ends have fared well against the Jaguars. Houston's Pharaoh Brown had 4 catches, 67 yards in week 1. And Denver tight ends combined for 9 catches for 60-plus yards and a touchdown against Jacksonville last week. So Max to the max. Max at Jax.
Sammy Watkins is not just for week 1 anymore.
Oh, boy. Mm.
He leads all Ravens receivers in snap counts. He leads all Ravens receivers in routes run. Marquise Brown entering this game, hobbled. This could be a big opportunity for Sammy Watkins to continue a solid start to the season. The Lions, secondary, so inept. They're missing 2 starting cornerbacks in an already awful secondary. This is an opportunity for basically any carbon-based life form who's on the field against the Lions, and Sammy Watkins counts as one of those.
He is carbon-based.
He is carbon-based. We are reporting here for the very first time. Let's work in a couple of matchups. Falcons against the Giants. Scott, we already talked about a couple of Falcons.
Yeah, well, we talked about Score Daryl Patterson. Let's go with the other running back there, his backup running back. Just kidding. Mike Davis, he's actually still playing 70% of the snaps to Patterson's 33%. 16-plus touches in back-to-back games for Davis and 10 catches in those 2 games. to Patterson 7. He's actually getting a decent amount of work both in the running game and passing game. I already told you the Giants are allowing 5.4 yards per carry and 9 yards per reception. Give me a B grade on Mike Davis this week. I like him here in this spot. The Matt Ryan in the passing game, washed Matt Ryan.
Yeah,
that should be his nickname now. But still, somehow, I'm giving him a C grade. But honestly, you should probably find a better option. Mm. But I'm going to give him a C minus here.
No, okay. You're not.
All right, a C grade.
Thank you.
The Giants are allowing 300 yards and 2 scores per game. That's why you like him. The over/under is like 48.5. That's why you should like him too. Mm-hmm. He had 300 yards and 2 touchdowns last week. There's reasons to like him. He just looks really bad, and I don't want him to give him a grade better than a C.
I don't blame you.
Calvin Ridley, I got an A grade on. He's going to get James Bradbury for the most part. Bradbury gave up 4 for 49 to McLaurin. Obviously, McLaurin had a bigger game, but that's what Bradbury gave up.
Yep.
Gave up 4 for 43 to Sutton. He's given up some chunks, and Ridley, they can move around, and he can avoid Bradbury at times.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 total receptions in his coverage, Bradbury is. Ridley, A grade. Russell Gage is out. Olamide Zaccheaus is going to be in. I have a bench grade on Zaccheaus, but also Frank Darby's out. Basically, the only other guy on that offense is Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, here it comes. This could finally be the A grade you so desperately want to give and have him actually make good on.
Hey now, I gave him an A grade in week one,
uh-huh.
But then the following week you gave George Kittle an A grade against that same defense, and George Kittle did worse.
He did do worse.
Okay. The Giants have allowed the third most receptions, the third most touchdowns, and the fifth most yards to tight ends.
Ooh.
They're allowing 6-plus catches and 60-plus yards and a score per game in each game. This isn't a new trend. Remember, in 2017, they were terrible. They were terrible in 2017.
Okay.
Well, when we talk about Kyle Pitts, apparently we're supposed to use historical tight end data. Is
okay.
That
all right?
Boom, roasted.
I'm just kidding. I'm just messing around.
I love it.
I do have an A grade on Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. This feels like way more of a breakout.
It really does. It really does.
Previous A grade.
Yeah, this is, you know, Justin Jefferson's third game last year type stuff.
Right.
Here.
All right. Over. How about the Giants side?
Giants side. Daniel Jones was my take a chance on me player. Obviously, if I like him, I like some players he's going to be throwing to. I'm keeping Ingram and the tight ends on the bench in his first game back, even though the Falcons let Gronk and Goddard score on them. I don't trust Ingram in his first game back, but Shepard and Galladay. Shepard leads the league in receptions right now. It's hard not to like him. I have a B grade on him. I could be convinced into an A grade.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta has allowed multiple wide receivers to score in each game, and all of them had over 49 yards. For Kenny Galladay, it might be a squeaky wheel gets the grease type of situation, or a squeaky mouse gets the cheese situation, or whatever the saying is.
Something squeaking.
Because here's the interesting thing. 62nd ranked Isaiah Oliver is going to be covering Shepard right in the slot.
Yeah.
Galladay, they just ruled out AJ Terrell on Friday,
nope.
Putting a five-year journeyman, 5 years, five teams journeyman, TJ Green, who's played like 20 snaps this year, on Kenny Galladay. I know Kenny's, you know, dealing with little injury issues.
He is.
But given the blow up last week, I think the squeaky wheel thing, I'm going to give him a C grade here.
For a certain caliber of player,
yeah.
The squeaky wheel almost always gets the grease.
Yeah.
And when you're paid $71 million,
yeah.
I think you get greased.
Yes. So C grade for him. In the running game, Booker's only averaging 4 touches a game, so let's ignore him. But Saquon Barkley, this might be the first time back. It's the first time he's not on the injury report, finally.
Right.
He's had 10 days rest. We knew it was going to be a slow start. His snaps went from 48% to 84%,
mm-hmm.
and now he's had 10 days. Falcons are allowing 142 combo yards per game. You got to imagine that all of that is going to Barkley. I have a B grade on Barkley just because I'm a little hesitant still.
All right. I think you're right. I think this could be the breakout game. Adrian Peterson, as an example, for a running back coming off ACL in his blow-up season, was it 2015?
His first 3 games were light.
First 2 were light. He had a 10-carry game in week 1,
okay.
A 12-carry game in week 2, and then he touched the ball 29 times in week 3.
Week 3 can
be the big change. So maybe that's going to be it for Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. I remember he had like 200-some yards in the first 3 games, and then he had like 1,800 to end the season or something. Ridiculous.
I think that's about right.
Yeah, 1,600, whatever it was.
Um, I, mm, Brian, let's see if we can sneak in Cardinals-Jags in like 2.5 minutes. Let's do it. If you think we can't, then we're going to go to break. What do you think?
Let's go for it. Kyler Murray, I'm giving him the fantasy Fonzie A. Currently on pace for roughly 75 total touchdowns as of right now. Yes, that's like a 17-game pace as well.
Yeah, can
sadly.
I don't have a Fonzie. I've got the aardvark.
But now, now DeAndre Hopkins... Game time decision with a rib injury. I'm still giving Murray the Fonzie, regardless if Hopkins plays.
Yeah.
I like him against Jacksonville, but you got to keep your eye on DeAndre Hopkins with the rib injury. Going to give him an A if he goes. Jacksonville is allowing more than 200 yards per game to wide receivers, and Hopkins is one of the best in the world. So, not a lot to discuss here, but you got to keep your eye on him. Hopefully, he goes on Sunday. Now, if he doesn't go, I had starting grades on Rondale Moore, A.J. Green, Christian Kirk, B, B, C.
Okay.
No Hopkins. Then now it goes A, A, B, basically.
Yeah,
Green will see the most snaps and has shown some glimpses of the glory days, but Moore looks like an absolute superstar.
He looks like a game changer.
But he's on the field the least of the three. That's
right,
for now.
Right, he's only 50%.
But, I mean, again, against the Jaguars, I'll start all three of these guys, even if Hopkins is a go. Kirk, my least favorite, but if no Hopkins, they all get bumped up. And I like Max Williams as my take a chance on me receiver at tight end.
Right, and you like James Conner, you take a chance
so
on me running back.
And I like Chase Edmonds more than James Conner, so Edmonds gets a B, Conner gets the take-home C. You got to love your Cardinals against the Jaguars. You don't have to love a lot on the Jacksonville side. I will give James Robinson a C. Last week, his snap share rose to 73%, and his touches nearly doubled. That was a relief for everyone who drafted him as a bell cow post-ETN injury.
Right.
The Cardinals limited Derrick Henry to 58 rushing yards in the opener, but then Dalvin Cook just ran all over them last week.
Smoked them.
So give Robinson a safe C on volume with some B potential, but it's going to be a coin flip if he has any success or not. No Bs for any of the wide receivers. I'm only giving Marvin Jones a starting grade. He gets the C. Fourth highest target share percentage among all wide receivers at 38%. Looking like an absolute draft day steal right now.
Absolutely.
Marvin Jones is. DJ Chark does not. He's on the bench. 12 targets in week one, just 3 catches. That's not good. Then just 4 targets for 1 catch. I think DJ Chark just might not be any good. And Laviska Shenault, Trevor Lawrence, we got to see some more before you trust
them.
Yeah,
and dinged up too. We want to see Shenault healthy as well.
Yep.
And maybe in a better matchup. Speaking of better matchups, Ravens and Lions, points galore coming. We'll tell you all the players you can start in this matchup when we come back to Fantasy Football Weekly. Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchi and Scott Fish and Brian Johnson with you from GuillotineLeagues.com. We roll back into some matchups, including the Ravens taking on the Lions, and there's a lot of guys we like here, and some of them don't even require much elaboration, like Lamar Jackson, obvious A here. Marquise Brown has 8 touchdowns in his last 8 games going up against this paper-thin Detroit Lions secondary, missing 2 of its starting cornerbacks. Marquise Brown is an obvious A, I believe, as well. And Sammy Watkins was my take-a-chance-on-me wide receiver. Mark Andrews has been quiet, but a breakout game possibly coming here. George Kittle dropped 4 catches for 78 yards on Detroit in week 1. And then Robert Tonyan posted 52 yards and a score this past Monday night. So, good game likely coming from Mark Andrews in this one, the breakout game we want. Tyson Williams, I mentioned him earlier in the show, quietly having a really nice season. He's averaging 6.5 yards per carry. He leads all NFL runners in average yards over expectation by Next Gen Stats at 2 extra yards. Tyson Williams does. The kid's good. Appropriately, he's still getting more snaps and more carries than Murray, as well as he should. Plus, he catches passes that Murray isn't in this game so far. He's hauled in 5 of 6 targets this year. And the receiving chops are valuable. If you look at what the Lions just allowed Aaron Jones to do on them through the air, we want a piece of that. So there's Tyson Williams in a B grade for you. Latavius Murray was my take a chance on me running back earlier. He has a C grade in this game. Moving over to the Detroit side, I already told you Jared Goff was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback. And I'll re-mention, Ravens just put four defensive players on their COVID list. So we like a lot of players here. I had a B grade on Goff before they put all those players on the list. And I think I'm still going to keep him with a B grade. Yeah. But, man, it's close to A grade.
A B before?
Yes.
Wow.
Goff's just a top 10 fantasy quarterback already.
Well, he's swimming in garbage time. It's
great. We made a joke about it, but I think this trade was good for both sides.
Stafford for Goff. It might turn out that way. T.J. Hockenson's an obvious A grade here. By the way, Kansas City goes from Darren Waller to Travis Kelce, yep, and now T.J. Hockenson.
Yep.
I mean, a murderer's row of tight ends, and they're getting killed as well. And a probable negative game script will keep Hockenson active throughout this one. A grade for T.J. Hockenson. Staying with the passing game, how about if we sprinkle in a little Quintez Cephus with a C grade? Throw a dart at him. Why not? He was your snap leader last week at the wide receiver position by a wide margin. And with Tyrell Soft Tissue Williams out, he runs primarily from the left side of the field where he sees Anthony Averett, a neutral matchup. A C grade for C Fuss.
Nice.
The Quinn Tasmanian Devil?
Nope. DeAndre Swift gets a B grade here. He leads the league with 16 targets. Leads all runners in targets. He is second in receptions. He's third in receiving yards. His lone touchdown has come through the air as well, and he's going to be a big PPR helper in this game. Swift's production will come easier through the air. The Ravens allowed the fourth fewest rushing yards to opposing backs and the fourth most receiving yards. So this is all about the receiving prowess of DeAndre Swift, and that's the B grade. And Jamal Williams can chip in here as well. Granted, he's on the wrong side of the 2/3, 1/3 timeshare with DeAndre Swift, but when he's in the game, he's getting on the field, and he's still touching the ball 14 times a game. He's already had an 8-catch game, and I just explained about how susceptible Baltimore is to pass-catching back, so I like Williams as well with the C grade in that game.
Yeah, he's touching the ball nearly 2/3 of his snaps.
Yeah, that's not bad.
Pretty good.
Good utilization. The Buccaneers take on the Rams, and Tom Brady has been my number one ranked quarterback the past 2 weeks. Not this time, though, Scott.
No. It's this week I actually have a B grade on Brady.
I mean, that's fair.
They have 9 passing touchdowns, no rushing touchdowns yet over there for the Bucs. If Dalton can throw for 200-plus yards on the Rams, and Wentz can throw for 247, you'd think Tom can throw for 300, you would think.
Maybe.
But all kidding aside, that's a really good defense. We'll see how I think they meet in the middle here, you know, the good offense versus the good defense. I'm just giving a B grade to Brady, and I assume that finally we might see some rushing points.
Not out of Brady.
Yeah, not out of Brady. Well, you never know. He has a lot of those one-yard jump over.
One-yard touchdowns.
Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. I have B grades on both. The Rams have only allowed 296 yards to receivers. Weirdly, Michael Pittman was 40% of that.
Wow.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
But only one receiving touchdown allowed. And Jalen Ramsey, Darius Williams, David Long are all top 40 ranked by PFF. But they're just going to get enough targets in a shootout like this that I'm going to give them a B grade. I feel they get there somehow, especially with Antonio Brown out for this game, likely out for this game. Tyler Johnson and Taylor Darden are going to get into the game a little more, but you can't start them.
No.
Gronk, I have an A grade on. He's not going to score 2 touchdowns again. I feel safe in saying that. Well, actually, I don't feel as safe as I should feel, weirdly.
Yeah.
But the Bears and Colts tight ends averaged 6 for 68 on the Rams, and I'd be very happy with that with Gronk, but I think he'll get more because he seems to be Tom's favorite target near the stripe. So still an A grade for Gronk because he's got that huge touchdown upside. The Leo, Gio, and Rojo trilogy there, they're all on the bench. I mean, Gio has 4 touches this season. Rojo has 11. That's nothing. Fournette has 29 touches. So if there was a guy, it might be him. But the Rams' run D has been good. They're holding down held down Jonathan Taylor to basically nothing last week. Mm-hmm. You got to bench them all. On the other side, Matthew Stafford. Yeah, I got an A grade here.
I love his matchup.
You have a banged up Daryl Henderson. If he goes, if he doesn't, it's Sony Michel. They won't be able to run it all against this vaunted Bucks D. So Stafford's going to have to light up a Bucks D that is allowing 350 yards and 2.5 touchdowns per game. By the way, Stafford himself is averaging 300 yards and 2.5 touchdowns.
Right.
So that seems like where he's going to be. Cooper Kupp is an obvious A. By the way, Peacock on that one in the preseason. I had that one right. He's Stafford's guy. He's Stafford's guy. Nah, you don't really need to do that. He's got a nice matchup against Ross Cockrell.
Yes.
Ranked 91st by PFF.
Yep.
And the Bucks are allowing 245 yards per game, which is good for the second most to wide receivers and the most receptions to wide receivers. So he's going to get the A. Robert Woods is going to get the A going up against Carlton Davis. He's actually ranked pretty good by pretty highly by PFF, but a lot of it is a bunch of pass breakups and a pick. He still lets up yards.
Yeah.
So Amari Cooper blew up on him week one. Calvin Ridley blew up on him last week. Van Jefferson I have on the bench. You know, maybe he gets a big play, but you can't count on it.
I think he's dart throwable.
He's as dart throwable as Auden Tate and James Washington. And like,
but a better matchup,
yeah,
I think. Maybe
a little more than those guys. But I have a bench grade, but like Church says, you know, he's dart throwable. Tyler Higbee, I have a C grade on. The Bucs allowed 9-plus receptions to tight ends in each game, 65-plus yards in each game. Feels like a solid spot. Higbee wasn't part of the game plan last week, complete dud. I think he rebounds in a high-scoring matchup this week. And Henderson and Michel. If Henderson goes, you're benching them both. If Henderson does not go and it's all Michel, you're benching him too. In the last two games, get this. This is a charge stat. You're going to love this. In the last two games that McVay has played the Bucks, he's dialed up 26 run plays and 119 pass plays.
Oh, jeez.
So expect some passing. No Rams running back outside of those two have touched the ball, so you can't start any of them.
Absolutely not. All right, and our final matchup of this segment and this hour will be the Colts taking on the Titans. Brian, we might not know until game time about who the Colts starting quarterback is.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, parentheses, ankles. Not singular, ankles.
That's right.
Two sprained ankles. Never heard of such a thing in my life, basically.
But, I have had that before.
So you've had two sprained ankles at the same time?
I have.
Oh, well, jeez. I guess I'm not surprised by that, sadly, but I still love you, Fish. Anyway, we'll start with Wentz. On the bench, even if he plays, you can't trust a guy with two sprained ankles unless his name is Scott Fish. Mm-hmm. You can always trust Scott Fish. If Wentz doesn't go, you think Jacob Eason was going to get the start, but Brett Hundley.
It probably will. They might run Hundley a little bit, but it'll be Eason.
Ugh. And no way, any way you slice it, you can't like the pass game too much. I will give Michael Pittman a C if Wentz plays. I guess that's a good thing if Wentz plays in this game. I'm not so sure, but Pittman had a huge day against Jalen Ramsey and the Rams last week, so why not against the Titans? I do have Zach Pascal on the bench, though, despite having three touchdown receptions already, but just don't trust him with a hobbly Wentz or a Jacob Eason or Brett Hundley, whoever's playing quarterback. You're not starting Zach Pascal. And I've got Jack Doyle on the bench as well. So far, opposing tight ends have totaled one catch on six targets against Tennessee.
Wow.
And Gerald Everett was one of them. He's decent enough. He's a warm enough body. So Doyle is on the bench. Jonathan Taylor, probably your only surefire start for the Colts, but he's not a very strong one. Leads the NFL in red zone touches, zero touchdowns, six carries inside the 5-yard line,
12
zero yards for zero touchdowns, obviously.
Come around.
He likely will come around. He's got a shot against the Titans defense, who have gotten off to a slow start, allowing 100 plus combo yards or multiple scores to opposing lead backs in both games. Chris Carson had two goal line touchdowns last week, so hopefully Taylor can plunge over the goal line if he gets the opportunity again, multiple opportunities again.
We'll talk more about Taylor later in this show.
And I almost used Nyheim Hines as my take a chance on me running back, but I got him on the bench for this one. Quickly over to the Tennessee side, King Henry, Derrick Henry gets an A. Yes, 180 80-plus rush yards and the hat trick last week. But I'm most excited about the six catches
from
Derrick Henry.
I know. That was
great.
Uncharted territory.
More than Kamara, more than Aaron Jones. He's a receiving back now.
And in his last game against Indy, which was also in Indy last year, Henry had 178 and three on the ground with two catches in that game. So an easy A for Derrick Henry. Pretty easy B for A.J. Brown. Didn't look so great last week, but he will play. The Colts have allowed two 100-yard receivers and have surrendered five touchdowns to the position. For that reason, Julio Jones also gets a B. Anthony Firkser is out. He was going to be on your bench anyway. And Ryan Tannehill, borderline benchable. Just a C for Tannehill. Worried it could be another King Henry game. Just one touchdown pass in each of his meetings with Indy last year.
If you haven't tried a guillotine league yet, you still have a chance to try the hottest new format in fantasy sports. The premise is you start the season with now 15 teams, and every week the low-scoring team gets chopped, all their players go to the waiver wire, and a bidding frenzy ensues. You can be part of the pandemonium by playing at guillotineleagues.com, where you don't have to be best, just don't be worst. Guillotineleagues.com, fresh leagues starting all the time. We'll be back for hour number two of Fantasy Football Weekly in moments. Two, Fantasy Football Weekly, Paul Charchian, GuillotineLeagues.com, Scott Fish, and Brian Johnson with you. This is a game we call Three Tough Questions.
Tough question number one.
Derek Carr is leading the NFL in passing yards. Is that a trend or a mirage, Scott?
It's a trend. It's a trend. It's going to happen. This is Rich Gannon 2002 reincarnate. You remember that year?
I do very well.
Yes, we all remember that year when he never threw for more than 4,000 yards, and then all of a sudden that year he's MVP candidate with 4,700 or so. Las Vegas has the worst run back blocking line in the league, and they are allowing the fourth highest pressure rate for pass blocking.
Oh boy.
Carr has to throw and throw quickly and a lot to stay in any games right now. His schedule toughens up for a little bit. He's got five games against top 10 defenses out of the next six. But after that, they're all like bottom 12 for almost the entire rest of the season. I think he loads up there. I'm saying it's a trend. I'm saying he's going to have to throw a lot this season.
All right. Brian, Derek Carr. Leading the NFL in passing yards, trend or mirage?
Yeah, I'm going trend, too. Last year, Carr was 11th in pass yards, but Las Vegas only threw the ball like 55% of the time. That's a very low clip. Right now, they're throwing the ball nearly 70% of the time. I like the wide receivers enough in Henry Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, Hunter Renfro, an absolute stud at tight end, obviously, with Darren Waller. The defense is just bad enough to keep them throwing a lot, as is the running game, so... Yeah, I don't know if he's going to be the passing yards leader, but he's got top five potential right now.
Yeah. You guys took all my talking points. This is a trend. Derek
Even
Carr's,
the Rich Gannon points?
Even the Rich Gannon one. Man, I wanted him to win MVP. I think he finished second that year.
I think you're right. I don't think he won.
I could be wrong. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Vegas, it's just the perfect recipe for passing yards for the reasons you already mentioned, the negative game scripts, the dubious running, all the other stuff, and... He leads the NFL in passing attempts. If that's going to continue, Derek Carr is good enough.
Update, Rich Gannon did win that year.
He did win that
he
year.
He did win that year.
Tough question number two.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire with two dud games. Trend or mirage, Brian?
I think it's been... So is the dud... What's in question? Is that
trend? Is what he's currently doing a trend?
Right. Is it what we've seen this year a trend, or is that a mirage? Is it going to get better?
It's very much a trend. Essentially, throughout his career, it's been a short career, granted. CEH has about three good games and 14 or 15 dud games, and people were scratching their head when he was the first running back selected in the draft last year. He had like a third round grade by a lot of the quote unquote experts, but they seem to be right on this one. I'm going trend on the dudliness of CEH.
All right, Scott, Clyde Edwards-Helaire with two dud games, trend or mirage?
Yeah, this thing is like a 15, 16, 17 game trend is what this is at this point. You know what? How long can we sit there and go, majority running back carries share on a high-scoring offense, it's got to work, and it just keeps not working. Like, how long are we just going to keep buying into the narratives and not just watch what we see on the field, which is a back who looks kind of average, not even remotely as fast as we thought, and they're just not using him in the passing game like we hoped. He had no targets last week.
Yeah.
This is a trend. This might just be who he is. By the way, kind of like the third receiver on Kansas City.
Yeah, like, right.
It just doesn't happen. It should. It just doesn't.
More like Clyde Edwards Despair.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Have we got a new nickname?
New nickname
yes,
alert.
Yes, we do.
Press the new nickname alert button.
That's right. It's a...
I don't know. Oh, that's it.
Sure, it's right there.
I thought you were going time machine for a second there.
I could have. Clyde Edwards Despair. Since his debut game last year, he's topped the modest rushing mark of 79 yards one time. He has scored in four of his NFL games. He's averaging 3.3 yards per carry this year, and over his past 14 games, almost a full season, he's somehow averaging 17 receiving yards for a back who can catch.
Yeah.
They just don't get him the ball.
No.
As I mentioned earlier in this show, previous hour, a juicy matchup with the Chargers right now. If he doesn't do anything here, I think it's time to start treating Clyde Edwards Despair as a benchable flex player at best.
Question number three. All the running backs that they could have drafted, like DeAndre Swift. DeAndre Swift on the
Question number three.
About to talk about right now could have been drafted.
That's a great point. This guy.
Tough question number three.
Appropriate level of concern for Jonathan Taylor. None. Some. Or a bowel loosening level of existential dread.
Blowed.
Known as blowed. Scott.
I just have some on this, not son. Some. His next eight games are against defenses ranked in the bottom 12 against fantasy running backs, so he should get back on track. He's gained nearly a 50% split of the receiving work, which we didn't really expect considering how good Nyheim Hines was in that category last year. We expected more to fall into him, so it's hard to complain about nine targets in two games. They also fell really behind in both games, which I don't think they'll be doing all season. Maybe this week without a quarterback, but I don't think they'll be falling behind. They'll have more positive game scripts to come and better matchups. I'm just some concerned.
Okay. Brian, is the appropriate level of concern for Jonathan Taylor none, some, or blowed?
As much as I love saying blowed, it's the some level of a concern for me. It's been a very slow start. It was a slow start for Taylor last year in his rookie year, but his usage ramped up as the season went on. I think that happens this year. The line, offensive line, not as healthy as we would hoped it would be, as dominant, and the pass game isn't offering him much help so far. He's going to see a lot of stacked boxes, but again, the guaranteed 15, 20, maybe even 25 touches as the season wears on only leaves me with some level of concern.
Why would it be blow Ed? I mean, granted, there's beloved and be love Ed. Maybe it's Spanish.
That's an O. Double L's is like a Y sound.
We got to roll our L's.
It's an O to So I Married an Axe Murderer. Some people out there will get it.
Okay. I don't get that, but that's okay.
I love that movie. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Well, I won't get into it, but we'll
Jonathan Taylor leads the NFL in red zone carries with 12, hasn't scored yet. And as you guys have covered already, I think that seems unlikely to, you know, he will end up scoring touchdowns.
Leads the NFL in red zone carries. Like,
yes,
he's getting the
good
work where
we want that. That's the usually the cheap, easy stuff. Uncharacteristically wobbly offensive line that currently ranks 28th in run blocking by Pro Football Focus. Presumably Quentin Nelson will get better. Right now, Quentin Nelson, who is going to go to the Hall of Fame, ranks 29th among guards by Pro Football Focus. Yeah. Two Viking guards.
Remember, he's coming off an ankle leg injury maybe that's part of
it
early on.
You figure that gets better as well. So I'm still going to go with some. The whole offense worries me, but I'm not ready to loosen my bowels over Jonathan Taylor.
And you're usually willing to get those loose in most of the time.
That's right. It happens plenty around here.
Yeah.
Let's go to our next matchup, which is the Saints taking on the Patriots. And we'll start on the Saints side. B grade for Alvin Kamara. I'd like to tell you that a massive bounce back from last week's disaster is coming, but I can't. You know, Belichick loves to take away what opponents want to do the most, and that's get Alvin Kamara going, and I don't think it's going to happen. And, you know, that will mean that Jameis Winston's going to have to sling his way to a Saints victory. I don't like that happening either. No back is top 59 rushing yards against the Patriots, but they are giving up a middle-of-the-pack 4.6 yards per carry, so there's going to be some opportunity for Kamara, which is part of why he gets the B grade here. But what you should know is that for years, Belichick has been elite at stopping pass-catching backs through the air, and that's already happening this year. So I don't know that Kamara's going to chip in the usual help that he often does through the air. And also watch the health of Saints center Eric McCoy. Without him last week, that offensive line was brutal. Mm. And if he's not able to go in this game, that's a big concern for Kamara as well. Everybody else is on the bench. Let's just briefly touch on Jameis Winston and the rest of the receivers here. Winston is dead last in pass attempts at just 22 per game. Most of the time, you can't find fantasy relevancy on 22 passing attempts.
No.
In fact, I went back and looked at Bill Belichick over the last 4 years when facing a quarterback who throws 22 or fewer passes.
Okay.
The average game is 107 passing yards and 0.2 touchdown passes per game.
Yeah. That kind of volume, you're just not going to get.
You're not going to get there on that volume, especially against Belichick. They're all on the bench. Tony Jones also on the bench. Low usage last week, just 3 touches, and this is not a favorable matchup. Let's go over to the Patriots. I'm excited for Mac Jones in this game.
Yep.
And I'm
mm-hmm.
even though he has one touchdown pass on the season, I'm giving him a B grade. Facing a depleted Saints secondary that just got picked apart by Sam Darnold for 300 yards and 2 touchdowns. They're missing cornerback Marshon Lattimore. That means the Saints' starting cornerbacks are a bunch of replacement-grade guys like rookie Paulson Adebo, the always burnable P.J. Williams, and Bradley Roby, who's going to be making his second-ever start for the Saints. I think Mac Jones has looked good. He's completing 74% of his passes as a rookie.
Yep.
That's nuts. Let's give him a B grade in this one. And that means I like some of his receivers as well. Nelson Aguilar comes in with a C grade. There aren't many times I'm safely going to tell you that Nelson Aguilar is better than every opposing cornerback he's going to see, but that is the case here, as I just outlined for you guys. Jakobi Meyers gets a C grade. Running from the slot, he's going to face one of the league's most risk-taking, burnable cornerbacks, P.J. Williams, perennially one of Pro Football Focus's lowest-ranked cornerbacks. And James White as a receiver. He's already seen the 4th most targets and the 2nd most receptions among all running backs, connecting on 12 of 13 tosses from Mac Jones. With Harris unlikely to get much traction on the ground in this game, I think White's going to be on the field a lot. And last week, Christian McCaffrey chipped in 65 air yards against the Saints. I could see White going 65 yards here. So now let's just talk about Damian Harris. Harris is looking at a tricky matchup. Loved his game last week, by the way. Saints' run defense has been elite for years and remains so now. Only one back has topped 100 yards in New Orleans' last 56 games. A staggering level of run domination.
That is a stretch.
They completely stuffed Aaron Jones in the opener, and Harris does not chip in anything through the air. Last thing I'll mention, and it pains me to say it, but with Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry splitting action, we're just not getting enough usage for those guys, unfortunately. Now, there's a chance that Jonnu doesn't go in this game. And if that is the case, Hunter Henry becomes startable. But as long as both of them are going, we're going to have to pick our spots, and this is not one of them for those guys. When we come back, we'll work our way through a few more matchups, including Jets taking on the Broncos. Are there any Jets that you can start in this game? Find out. It's against a tough Broncos. It might be a bench everybody game. We'll find out when we come back. Fantasy Football Weekly. Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. My name's Paul Charchi, and I'm the host of the show. My co-hosts are Scott Fish and Brian Johnson. You can get all of my player rankings for free each week at guillotineleagues.com. I encourage you to check that out. Maybe you missed part of the show and you want to break down, deeper breakdown on your guys.
Or if there's a player not on there, they should all be on there, but I'll give you Charch's phone number and you can text him.
That's right. I love that. That makes me so happy when people do that. You know what else makes me happy? Is when Justin Fields gets to take the field
yes.
for the first time. And I'm optimistic for him in general, but I'm nervous about this particular matchup and this his first time out. Tell me what you think as Chicago takes on Cleveland, Scott.
Yeah, if you look at how much he runs the ball, Justin Fields, if you include the preseason games, he is running taking the ball and scrambling at a higher percentage than almost any quarterback does.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps that, maybe not to that level, but I wouldn't be surprised if he has a bunch of designed runs. He does runs at the goal like he did in week one. The Browns are the third worst against fantasy quarterbacks so far, and they've allowed a touchdown in 100% of their games.
Rushing touchdown, yes.
A rushing touchdown.
Yes, they have.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes and Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, Fields is right in that that Jalen Hurts from last week spot where, you know, maybe he only gets 190, 200 yards passing, but he's going to get you 60 on the ground and maybe a touchdown, which
well, we
gives
hope
him a
so.
Safe floor.
You know, I was a little bit worried that because Fields is, quote-unquote, the backup, that they wouldn't risk him to injury. But their third stringer is Nick Foles. So, I mean, even if he were to, get hurt, Fields were to get hurt on designed run plays, they can bring in Nick Foles. It's not a bad backup to go to. So I do think there will be a willingness to run him here.
Yeah, I completely agree. And the amount he scrambles, he's shown that he gets a little more, I wouldn't say skittish, but he's shown that he feels more comfortable scrambling mm-hmm. instead of trying to stick and make a play like Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson do.
Yeah.
So I have a B grade on him. I have a B grade on Allen Robinson. Targets came way down with Fields in last week.
Yeah, that worries me.
Only one catch for 13 yards on three targets in the second half there with Fields. He's got the tougher cornerback matchup with Gavin Newsom, who generally plays the bigger guy because he's a bigger guy himself. He's only allowed two receptions in his coverage on the season. But Allen Robinson is 10 times better than the players he's covered so far. So Darnell Mooney. I had a B grade on him because I love the matchup, but he's dealing with a groin injury. Mm-hmm. I'm going to drop him to a C, but I still really like the matchup. He's got 7-plus targets in back-to-back games, 5-plus catches in back-to-back. The Browns have allowed 20 receptions for 275 yards and 2 touchdowns to the opposing top receiver, or the opposing speed receiver, I should say,
yeah.
in the last two games, Tyreek Hill and Brandon Cooks. And that's kind of Mooney's spot. He's going to go up against Denzel Ward.
But is it Mooney's spot on a groin injury? Is he really the speed guy on a groin injury?
That is why I'm dropping him from a B to a C.
All right. You're baking in some of that risk.
He played 89% of the snaps in both games, but again, groin injury. So let's put him at a C. Maybe Allen Robinson's B turns into a B+ then. He didn't even catch me on that one.
Got it through.
Got the plus in there.
You got me distracted for a minute.
All right.
That is not cool.
Cole Kmet is on the bench. Only one target last week after a nice week one. Similarly, the Browns gave up a huge week one to Kelsey, but shut down on tight ends last week. Montgomery, B grade. The Browns are 10th against running backs, allowing well under 3 yards per carry. That's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Under 100 combo yards per game. But Monty is averaging over 20 touches per game. He's on the field all the time.
Yeah.
And he was on the field a ton once Fields came in last week. And mobile quarterbacks, as we know, often open up some running lanes. So
it does.
I got a B grade on Montgomery. Williams on the bench. He saw just 4 touches last week, and his snaps went way down once Fields came in. I really dug into the snaps once Fields came in to try to break this side down. On the other side, Baker Mayfield, I'm giving a C grade. The Bears are middle of the pack against quarterbacks, but Chubb and Hunt might have a tough time running in this one, forcing Baker to pass more, which is why I'm actually giving him a C grade.
No, I like him more than you do. I think he's
giving
more like
him a B grade.
Well, that secondary's been terrible.
He has only one touchdown this year. Man. Yeah, Chicago's allowed multiple passing touchdowns, and I'm going to go back to last year, even though
that's fine.
You know, 10 out of the last 11 games dating back to last year, they've allowed multiple passing touchdowns.
And the secondary's worse right now.
Yeah.
They have no answer at slot cornerback at all.
Maybe
now, granted, Jarvis Landry's out for this game.
Yes.
And that would have been the most exploitable matchup on the
OBG's,
field.
OBJ is back.
Yep.
They have mentioned words like play count and snap.
For sure.
And pitch count and snap.
At most, he's half the snaps.
Yeah. I'll give Mayfield a B, but I think it goes all over the place. So I don't even like starting any of the receivers. OBJ on a snap count, Higgins and Schwartz and Donovan Peoples-Jones. You can't start them.
And they're doing that with their tight ends too.
Exactly.
They're deploying three tight ends all the time.
This is the ridiculous thing. as far as their tight ends, nearly 45% of Mayfield's targets are going to tight ends, and it's all over who is the target leader, who's the reception leader, who's the yardage leader. So I'm starting none of that passing game. I guess I'll give Mayfield a B because it feels like
in totality, it feels like
he'll push it. He'll get 30 yards to each of the 10 players.
And Mayfield's playing well.
It's just not
Kevin Stefanski run heavy offense that just his volume is always low. And he's just not an explosive fantasy producer, but he's playing well.
Yeah. Chubb, I got a B grade on. The Bears have only allowed 3 catches for 33 yards in the pass game, which is not very much at all for the season. So it seems like you'd want Hunt out of this one. He's gotten a lot less touches and snaps. B grade on Chubb. Chubb, do you think Chubb gets 12-plus touches here?
Oh, Josh? For sure.
Okay. The last time Chubb had 12-plus touches and failed to have at least 90 yards in a score was December of 2019.
Jeez.
When he gets 12-plus touches, he's getting you 90 and or a score.
Yeah, that's great.
And he's going to do that here. So B grade for him. I started to touch on Hunt in the middle of that somehow. I'm still giving Hunt a C grade because he does get that passing game work. He just really hasn't yet. Mm-hmm. And he is still getting, 5 to 10 touches a game. I think he gets more like 10 in this one. I'm going to give him a C.
All right, that all sounds fair. Jets take on the Broncos. We talked about this in passing a little bit earlier. Brian, are there any Jets that you start in this game?
I wanted to give Michael Carter a starting grade.
It's tempting. Coleman's out.
He is out. Not like you really care anyway. Both Carter and Ty Johnson kind of in a 50-50 timeshare, but Carter looks better. He's the one who's getting targeted, but the Broncos, a brutal matchup, allowing the second fewest rushing yards and third fewest receiving yards to running back. So Carter and Ty Johnson both on the bench. Tempted to bench Corey Davis, but I'm going to give him a C. Totally nullified by New England last week, but he's pretty much the top threat on the Jets, so that's what happens against the Patriots. Comparable boundary receivers like Kenny Galladay, Darius Slayton, Marvin Jones all went for at least double-digit PPR points, so hopefully Corey Davis will get there with some hope for a touchdown, but unlikely not. But a C for Davis. Jameson Crowder, doubtful, unlikely to make his season debut. Braxton Berrios led the team in targets last week. Elijah 16. Moore.
16 through 2 weeks for Berrios, I believe.
Elijah Moore still in the mix. Much heralded rookie, but you just can't trust Zach Wilson and his, 4 interceptions last week. And I think this is his first road game. Well, no, they played in Carolina, but first West Coast game. So everyone else on the bench for the Jets. It's really just Corey Davis with a very soft C.
I'd like to make a case for Berrios for a dart throw because he's had 5-plus catches in back-to-back games, and he's getting the targets.
I won't argue in the
Washington and in Van Jefferson range.
No touchdown upside for Berrios.
That's
but in PPR, he might get you to 10-plus points, so I don't hate that too much. Cortland Sutton might get you to 20-plus points in this game. Leads all wide receivers and air yards over 300 now. He gets an A. Shockingly didn't score last week, but went off without Jerry Jeudy in the lineup. He is the alpha receiver there now. Tim Patrick's still very viable without Jeudy. He deserves a B in a plus matchup.
He's a little banged up.
Tim Patrick?
Yeah,
I'm sure
if he plays, he'll go,
I would think. The Jets secondary, very unproven. They're coming off facing Mac Jones last week, so they haven't really faced a true test. I don't know, KJ Hamler charged this week?
Everything was lined up for him last week, and he wouldn't catch for 5 yards.
He's going to go off this week.
It's another great matchup.
Yeah. Another,
but I said he was a great matchup last week, and it was.
It was.
So,
he is a very viable dart throw, too. I'm going to bench him in seasonal, but in daily, you might want to take a flyer on Hamler. Noah Fant has a very good matchup. He's been very reliable so far, double-digit PPR points in back-to-back games. He should continue to produce against the Jets, who just allowed a combined 6 catches for 70 yards to Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry. Last week, Love Fant with a B, and Teddy Bridgewater gets a B as well. Tied for the NFL lead in 20-plus yard pass attempts.
Which is shocking. Yeah.
And I forgot, this is a revenge game. He was signed by the Jets, but then traded right after they drafted Sam Darnold.
Yep.
For a sixth-round draft pick to the Saints.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
forgot about that.
I did, too. I just realized it today. So a little bit of a revenge angle for Teddy. And then lastly, Javonte Williams, Melvin Gordon.
Oh, I want the Javonte Williams breakout game to be right here.
It's got
to
happen.
It's still basically a 50-50, still basically a 50-50 split, but it's only a matter of time before Williams takes full control. If you take away Melvin Gordon's long touchdown run, he's basically Isaiah Crowell. Remember how many times it took away Isaiah Crowell's long touchdown run for the Browns years ago?
Gordon and Williams is Peterson and Chester Taylor all over again.
Yeah, Broncos favored by 2 touchdowns, so you got to like both backs here. Williams gets the B, though. Gordon just the C. Jets allowing 162 combo yards per game to running backs.
Yeah, I think I don't have the stat off the top of my head, but if you take away Gordon's long run,
It's 2.7 yards per carry.
It's not good.
Yep.
Seahawks take on the Vikings. Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, all A's. Vikings are allowing a crazy 331 passing yards and 3 total touchdowns to opposing quarterbacks. It's a great opportunity. Lockett has largely moved out of the slot, which is new this year, and that puts him most often against an injured Bashaud Breeland, who owns Pro Football Focus's lowest cornerback ranking. He's 103 out of 103 cornerbacks rated.
I wish you would have said out of 100. It would have been better.
DK Metcalf runs predominantly from the left side of the field, where he draws aged veteran Patrick Peterson, who has allowed 6 of 7 targets to be caught in his coverage and gave up 2 touchdowns last week. All A grades. Staying with the passing game, Gerald Everett gets a C grade here. He's been on the field a lot. He scored in week 1. Mostly as a blocker, though. He's only seen 4 targets in 2 games. But the Vikings just allowed Max Williams to post career best numbers. 7 targets, 7 catches, 94 yards. So, and based on that, I think Gerald Everett, in the tight end desperate landscape we have, gets a C grade. And lastly, Chris Carson. Vikings rebuilt defensive line, supposed to be smothering opposing runners, but it's not really working out that way. They rank 24th in run defense by Pro Football Focus. They're giving up 4.5 yards per carry, and they were torched by another bell cow back, Joe Mixon, in the opener. Chris Carson gets almost all the work in these games. I see potentially a solid game coming. Then again, maybe they just don't have to run that much because the passing is going to come so easily here. Look at Chase Edmonds last week, got his game torpedoed on only 3 carries because they just didn't have to pass or didn't have to run because the passing was so easy. Let's go over to the Vikings, where I think it's a little more interesting in this one. We'll begin with Kirk Cousins. Since coming to Minnesota, Cousins has faced Seattle every year and averaged 244 yards and almost 2 touchdowns per game. All 3 of his wide receivers have very positive matchups. Kirk scores touchdowns. He has scored in 26 of 27 games. He has scored multiple touchdowns in 10 of his last 11 games. Cousins doesn't normally win with volume, but he could end up with some extra passes because Dalvin Cook is hobbled coming into this game. We'll talk more about that in a minute. A grade for Adam Thielen. Hopefully you did not listen to the preseason experts who were a cacophony of touchdown regression storylines for Adam Thielen.
Nope.
But not here on this show.
Nope.
Because we talked about his proficiency near the stripe, and we liked him here. He plays all over the field and has positive matchups at every opposing cornerback spot, whether it's Trey Flowers or DJ Reed or Ugo Amadi. Thielen hit this secondary for 2 touchdowns in the meeting last season. That's part of why he gets an A grade. Justin Jefferson gets a B grade. Like Thielen, he lines up everywhere as well, and he has positive matchups at every stop. Especially when he sees Trey Flowers, who's giving up a passer rating of 155 in his coverage. That's just 3 points off a perfect rating. And I know Jefferson's been the odd man out of the Vikings passing game so far, and I think Minnesota is going to intentionally try to get Jefferson cooking with some extra passes in this one because he's been so quiet through the 2 games.
Yeah, well, now let's talk about their leading receiver.
KJ Osborne. A tricky matchup in the slot, though, with Ugo Amadi, a converted safety, who has never allowed a touchdown in his 61 career coverage pass passes in his coverage. He's barely been tested this year with just four targets. So I'm still giving the edge to Osborne based on his high utilization so far and a C grade.
Like it.
So Dalvin Cook has really got me nervous for this.
Yeah.
He comes in with a bulky ankle. He was clearly hobbled last week. And I think we're going to see a lot more of Alexander Mattison and some extra throws from Kirk Cousins in this one. So it could be a low utilization game, and he could aggravate the ankle injury. So there's that. Now, the Seahawks are allowing the most total yards to runners because Derrick Henry ran through this team last week. So it's a decent matchup, but I can only put a B grade on Dalvin Cook, and this thing could go haywire a few different ways. I know you kind of have to start him if he's active. A reminder, Alexander Mattison came in for an injured Dalvin Cook last year against Seattle, topped 100 yards. I'm giving Alexander Mattison a C grade in this one because I think they do take some miles off of Dalvin Cook in this game.
Yeah, Mattison already one of those must-have handcuffs, and if you have Cook on roster and you don't have Mattison, you're hurting right now.
You are in a certain amount of trouble. Final segment of Fantasy Football Weekly coming up next, including premature speculation where we tell you the guys to pick up this week that everybody else will be trying to pick up next week. Final segment, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Charchin, Scott Fish, and Brian Johnson with you. This is a segment we call premature speculation, where we give you three players to pick up this week that everybody else is going to be trying to pick up next week. We begin with Scott.
Yes, I'm going to go with, you're going to start out picking up Jeff Wilson, who's going to come back in about a month, and you're going to put him on IR. And then you're going to pick up Rashad Bateman, who's coming back after next week. Throw him on IR, too. And then you're going to pick up Van Jefferson,
okay,
who I said is maybe a dart throw this week. But after this week, he gets a shootout with the Cardinals, who have a lot. He gets a shootout with the Seahawks. Mm. Then he gets the Giants and Lions defenses. That's
juicy.
He's going to be flex-worthy, especially once we start to get into bye weeks.
Okay. Your premature speculation player, Brian?
I got a quick one for the super flex dudes and dudettes out there. That's when you can play two quarterbacks, of course. It's Ian Book, rookie quarterback for the New Orleans Saints. Now, some people are mad that are quarterback hungry that they missed out on Davis Mills, but Ian Book could be the next Davis Mills, and by that I mean just a warm body.
You just think going to get benched?
At some point, I do. And Taysom Hill is not going to save their season at that point. I think
they'll want to see what they get out of him.
They want to see what they'll get out of Ian Book. And hey, maybe Michael Thomas is making his return then. I'm saying Ian Book could be the next man up for any team. I mean, he's not Jacoby Brissett. At least we've yet to see what Ian Book has to offer. So.
All right. I'm going with a player who's dropped under 50% ownership, despite having an average draft position of the seventh round. Curtis Samuel, Washington. Yep. He's coming off injured reserve next week, so you want to pick him up this week. His original groin injury dates back to July, so he really ought to be done with this thing at this stage. He's reunited with his original head coach, Ron Rivera, and his offensive coordinator, Scott Turner. So he should be able to hit the ground running, know this offense, and literally hit the ground running, assuming this groin is healed. And reminder, at the second half of last season, he was a top 20 fantasy wide receiver. Curtis Samuel, available for free right now.
Boom.
Let's go back to the matchups, beginning with the Eagles taking on the Cowboys, Scott.
Yeah, I'm going to start the passing game for the Eagles. Jalen Hurts had almost an A-level game, only throwing for 190 yards and zero passing touchdowns last
91
week
of his yards are on one play.
Exactly. His rushing floor makes him a C-grade every single week, and sometimes a B-grade just off of his rushing. This week should be more like week one. The Cowboys have allowed the second most passing yards to opposing quarterbacks with over 330 in each game. I've already given you my take-a-chance-on-me player with Jalen Reagor. I also like Devonta Smith despite the tougher matchup with Trayvon Diggs. Devonta Smith is fast enough and plays around enough that he should be able to get around. If you don't remember from the Take a Chance on Me segment, the Cowboys have allowed four different receivers to get 90-plus yards and or a score in the last 2 weeks.
Mm.
It's just a great spot for Smith. Quest Watkins is on my bench. It's a potential shootout. We've mentioned a few dart throw type wide receivers.
And Jordan Lewis in the slot is yeah, not good.
I have him on the bench, but like he's another one you can convince me into a C-level dart throw start if you're missing Deontay Johnson or Antonio Brown or something like that. Dallas Goedert. Dallas playing Dallas here. Wow, just realized that as I'm reading it. Dallas is fifth worst against the Dallas Cowboys are fifth worst against tight ends, but it should be worse. They gave up two touchdowns to Gronk, and last week they had two touchdowns to tight ends called back. So it should actually be a lot worse. They've given up a lot above five plus catches in each week. I have a B grade on Goddard.
Could you imagine if Dallas Goedert was the fifth worst tight end on his own team?
Not happening. Miles Sanders, I'm giving a B grade to. He's not quite a bell cow, but 14 to 19 touches a game is pretty good volume. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys have kept rushing yardage down, but they've allowed the third most receptions and fifth most receiving yards to back. I'm expecting a similar workload, 3 to 5 receptions. He had 240 yards and two scores against Dallas last year in the two games.
Yeah.
So it's a decent spot for him. B grade for him. A C grade for Gainwell on the higher level of it. He's a pass catching back that plays in 2-minute drills. They'll be playing from behind, catch up. He should get, 5 to 10 touches, maybe 10 touches, and that's worthy of a C grade. On the other side, let's go to Dak Prescott. B grade here. Dak is barely throwing downfield, which makes me wonder if that labrum injury from right before the season might be playing in. The Eagles D allowing the fewest passing yards and touchdowns to quarterbacks, but they play Jimmy G and Matty Ice. This game should give us a better idea. But his rushing and a likely hard high-scoring game, I'm giving Dak a B still. You could talk me into a C just because I've been a little worried, but I think it's going to be high-scoring and he should get enough. In the passing game also, CeeDee Lamb. A grade. Amari Cooper, who got injured his ribs in week one, but still played fine in week two. He'll be playing. Don't worry about him. B grade there. For Lamb, he plays 33% in the slot. He's slated to see Darius Slay, who's ranked number 14 by PFF. Tough matchup.
But he's the utilization's so high.
But yeah, but he gets lots and lots of volume. Same with Cooper. Dallas optimistic he'll go, obviously. He is going to go. Cedric Wilson's interesting here. Once Gallup went out, Gallup played 100% of his snaps on the outside. Once Gallup went out, Wilson came in and played 72% slot, and Lamb and Cooper kicked outside.
Yeah.
So we're talking about the slot guy here in Wilson, but guess what? The Eagles slot guy, Avante Maddox, who's ranked 6th by PFF.
Ooh.
Too tough of a matchup. I'm benching him. Schultz and Jarwin, I'm benching them. They held Kittle to 17 yards and this amazing Kyle Pitts guy to 31 yards. Those tight ends are on the bench. Zeke and Pollard. I don't know who I'll start with here, but the Eagles held down the Atlanta backfield and the current mess in San Francisco. It's tough to get a good read on the defense with that, but Zeke has run the fifth most routes among running backs. He's actually gained out there in the passing game. Five looks last week to four. Four looks to Pollard's one, actually. Pollard just looks like he was shot out of a cannon, though. Zeke, the better pass blocker, so he'll be in there more, and Zeke is playing 80% of his snaps. 80% of the time, Pollard's only playing 20 snaps a game, but he's making those count. He touched the ball 7 out of 20 in week 1, 16 out of 21 snaps in week 2. I'm giving Zeke the B grade because he's the one out there, and Pollard the C grade because he gets good receiving yards.
All right, let's go to the Packers taking on the 49ers, Brian.
I'm going to give Aaron Jones an A. Now, we have to mention that left tackle for Green Bay, Elgton Jenkins, who was really a right guard who was moonlighting as a center.
Yes.
Was playing left tackle for
He's
David Bakhtiari.
He's the best lineman, yes.
He is unlikely to play this week, so the Packers' line is pretty much in shambles, but I'm still going to give Aaron Jones an A here. San Francisco is allowing the fourth most yards per carry, 5.0, and are the seventh worst run defense, according to Pro Football Focus. San Francisco has also allowed the second most receptions to backs, so an A for Aaron Jones. Also an A for Davante Adams. San Francisco does not have great corners with Jason Verrett on IR.
Right.
We're talking about fifth-round rookie D'Amador Lenore.
Yes, he's actually been pretty good.
Has he?
But Josh Norman's been terrible.
Yes, and the washed-up Josh Norman. Don't forget, he's definitely washed up at this point in his career. His career was pretty much over. So an A for Adams. And I'm giving Marquez Valdez-Scantling a C, even though we broke many hearts last week with zero catches.
Yes.
I just think they force feed him in this game to make up for that. He did have 120 air yards last week, just didn't have a catch.
And one very quickly, one of my guillotine leagues, a guy needed one catch from Marquez Valdes-Scantling on Monday night to avoid the chopping block. He got thrown to four times, zero catches.
Jeez.
I'm in that league, and thankfully I'm not that guy.
Yes.
Still alive. Robert Tonyan, still alive, but it's been a very slow start for him just to see. He's 31st in targets among tight ends with a snap percentage of less than 50% for Tonyan. The Niners allowed a good game to T.J. Hockenson in week one, but last week they limited Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz to a combined three catches for 30 scoreless yards. So kind of a coin flip for Tonyan, but he remains a must-start in the tight end wasteland. And you're definitely starting Aaron Rodgers in this is a homecoming revenge game, because whoever doesn't remember, the Niners selected Alex Smith over Aaron Rodgers, essentially. The Packers played in San Francisco last year. Rodgers went for 305 yards and four touchdowns in that game. So I'm giving an A to Aaron. So he's now Aaron. And that is it for the Packers side. Now over to San Francisco. Trey Sermon's going to be the starting running back. I'm not going to dive too much into this situation.
Right.
I'm not too excited about it, even though the Packers have allowed the fourth most rushing yards so far, 279, just to see for Trey Sermon. We're not convinced he'll be the goal line guy yet, but he looks to be the starter this week, so it is Sermon season in that regard. Now, Deebo Samuel, definitely going to start him, gets an A grade, 36% target share for Deebo.
Mm.
He's accounted for more than half of the receiving yards.
That's fantastic.
For the team. It's absolutely fantastic. The Packers secondary has allowed touchdowns to the likes of Deonte Harris, Chris Hogan, and Quintez Cephas. So love Deebo Samuel here. He gets an A. I do not love Brandon Ayuk. He's on the bench. He's basically getting outproduced by Juwan Jennings and Trent Sherfield at this point.
I'm buying on Ayuk.
I'm not starting him, but I'm holding him. And if he's out there, he should see an uptick in usage, one would hope. But right now, looking like one of the biggest busts of the year so far. George Kittle off to a slow start, too, but he will not bust in this game. Has only seen nine targets so far this year, but Green Bay has yielded the third most red zone targets and the most goal-to-go touches to tight ends so far. So I'm giving Kittle an A here. He should blow up. And love Kittle so much. Love Deebo Samuel. That's why Jimmy Garoppolo was my take-a-chance-on-me quarterback.
All right. Let's go to our final matchup, the Monday night game, Washington at Buffalo. And we'll start with the running game for Washington, Antonio Gibson. He has a league-high 84 rushing yards after contact and is top 10 in rushing attempts and rushing yards. He's been effective. This is a good chance against a middle-of-the-pack Buffalo run defense to begin the season. And they rank 18th in tackling, 23rd in overall rush defense. It's a nice opportunity for Gibson. Not chipping in through the air, though. And that brings us to J.D. McKissic. You're going to be tempted to chase last week's big game for McKissic, but this does not look like the right spot. Buffalo ranks number two in receptions to running backs, number two in receiving yards to running backs, and they were great at it last year, and they've allowed one running back receiving touchdown in their last 20 games. So we're putting J.D. McKissic on the bench.
McKissic only had two snaps outside of the two-minute drills as well.
Great point. So he is on the bench. Let's go to the passing game where Taylor Heinicke gets a C grade. Buffalo's defense throttled Jacoby Brissett and Ben Roethlisberger to this point, holding them to per-game averages of just 180 passing yards and half of one touchdown. Heinicke's most important receiver, Terry McLaurin, is going to get shadow coverage from elite cornerback Tre'Davious White, which is often a death sentence. We'll talk about that in a minute. Your best angle here is for rushing touchdowns for Heinicke. The Bills allowed seven quarterback rushing touchdowns last year, third most. And five different opposing quarterbacks topped 36 rushing yards. And so you're hoping for some scrambling out of Heinicke. And that's just the C grade for him coming off a nice game last week. Back to McLaurin. Buffalo allowing just 127 yards per game to opposing receivers. That's sixth fewest. And again, he's going to get a lot of Tre'Davious White. And that is never an easy matchup. Although McLaurin just beat James Bradbury fairly soundly last week, but this is still a tougher matchup than that. And I'm worried about McLaurin, who drops to just a B grade in this game. And lastly, Logan Thomas. The Bills have yet to allow a tight end touchdown while also surrendering the seventh fewest receptions to tight ends. Thomas currently falls into the middle of the tight end pack with the 11th most targets, 14th most receptions. He's suddenly competing with Adam Humphries and De'Ami Brown for targets, which I don't love, and he didn't have to fight those guys last year. So Thomas just a C grade in this game. We'll flip over to the other side now, beginning with Josh Allen, who has been inaccurate, completing just 56% of his passes, and his total yardage and touchdowns reflect that, just 225 passing yards per game. Here comes a very talented Washington defense with a great front four that can put a lot of pressure on opposing players. They've already put together 6 sacks, 5 hits, and 21 hurries in 2 games. So that worries me. Your obvious hope here for Josh Allen is he's going to run his way to a big game, just like Daniel Jones just ran through the Washington defense. Similarly, fleet quarterbacks Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts scored 2 rushing touchdowns apiece against Washington last year. So the B grade for Josh Allen is primarily because I think he's going to run well in this game.
He needs a big game. I mean, he was going before Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson in most leagues, and those people are regretting that decision right
Correct.
Now.
Correct. Stephon Diggs, obvious A. I'm not going to elucidate on that very much, although it is not the simplest matchup of the world. But also the Washington secondary has been burned a bit so far. Cole Beasley gets a starting grade, working out of the slot. He'll find journeyman Kendall Fuller. He's allowed 11 of 15 passes to be completed in his coverage. You could start Cole Beasley in a pinch. Devin Singletary's looked pretty good so far, topping 6 yards per carry in each game. And he's also seen at least 2/3 of the snaps so far, so he gets a C grade. And we're not chasing Zach Moss's 2 touchdowns from last year. He was barely on the field, and he's still only averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Singletary's looked better to this point.
Yep.
It's coming for Zach Moss, though. It's coming.
Yeah, let's hope it is coming. If you haven't yet checked out Guillotine Leagues, you should do so. GuillotineLeagues.com, the freshest new way to play fantasy sports. This is the only place in the world where you can go get Alvin Kamara off the waiver wire. Check out GuillotineLeagues.com, and we'll be back in 1 week for more action and talk a lot about Chuba Hubbard and what you're supposed to do with him at this point and Christian McCaffrey next week. Talk to you then, everybody. Bye-bye. Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.